This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We offer a warm welcome to each of you from the Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. The Reverend Steve Kramer will be conducting our service today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the end of the program. We are happy you chose to worship with us today and invite you to join us at this time every Sunday on this station.
Almighty and everlasting God, you are always more ready to hear than we are to pray, and to give more than we either desire or deserve. Pour upon us the abundance of your mercy, forgiving us those things of which our conscience is afraid, and giving us those good things for which we are not worthy to ask, except through the merit of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty and everlasting God, you are always more ready to hear than we are to pray, and to give more than we either desire or deserve. Pour upon us the abundance of your mercy, forgiving us those things of which our conscience is afraid, and giving us those good things for which we are not worthy to ask, except through the merit of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Savior, Savior, Our reading for today is taken from John's Gospel, chapter 21, beginning at verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the Twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It's the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there, with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them, and though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and to go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to Peter, "Follow me." Here ends our reading.
Oh, Lord.
Dear friends in Christ, the Gospels have a number of stories about the appearances of the risen Jesus Christ in the days following his crucifixion and Easter. What is interesting to note is that Jesus does more than just show up in these stories. He has something to give to those to whom he appears. For instance, the women on the road from the empty tomb ran into Jesus and he gave them a job. Go tell the disciples. On the road to Emmaus, the two discouraged disciples received a sympathetic hearing from Jesus and a very powerful Bible study to explain what they had just experienced. In the upper room, the disciples experienced Jesus breathing his Holy Spirit into them and giving them a job. Doubting Thomas in that upper room experienced the blessing of peace and received a lesson on faith. And of course, on the mountains, where we hear the Great Commission, Jesus said, "Go and make disciples of all nations." Again, the disciples received a great commission from the Savior. In our text for today, Jesus had another wonderful gift to give to one of those disciples, whose name was Peter. It's several days after Easter, and they've already experienced the reality of Christ's resurrection. They're now in Galilee, as Jesus had instructed them, and they're waiting for an appearance. And an appearance isn't happening, and so Peter said, "I'm going fishing." Perhaps it was a way to kill some time or a way to unwind in the midst of what had been a very, very stressful, up and down roller coaster type of experience the past several days. Well, some of the other disciples went with Peter. They fished all night long and they didn't catch a thing. When they came back in the next morning, probably grumbling amongst themselves about not catching a thing, they heard a voice from shore call out to them, "Children, haven't caught any, have you?" They said no, which must have been tough for fishermen to admit. The voice said, "Well, throw out on the other side of the boat." And they did. And lo and behold, they caught a great catch of fish in their net. And they began to try to pull it in. It's in the midst of this that John, one of the disciples, seemed to have a light bulb go off in his mind. Perhaps he was reminded of the story from Luke 5 where Jesus had Peter throw his net in on the other side and a great catch of fish was caught that day. Anyway, John exclaims, "It's the Lord!" Peter, who has been working on getting this net in, gets so excited when he hears that he jumped overboard into the water and swam in. Now, they were about 100 yards off, so he didn't have a terribly long swim, I suppose. But what a picture it must have been, Peter dripping wet, walking out of that water towards the Savior. He hadn't spoken with Jesus, at least not according to the gospel records. No words had come from his mouth since that night when Peter had let Jesus down. Anyway, the rest of the disciples caught up. And as they were pulling the boat on shore, they smelled the fish frying. And there was a charcoal fire that Jesus had prepared, with some fish on it and some bread. And Jesus said, "Why don't you bring some of your fish ashore?" Peter, being eager to please, ran over to the boat and dragged that whole large catch of fish into shore by himself. It's like he's trying to make things right with Jesus, I suppose. Well, anyway, what follows is a lovely scene. Jesus and the disciples eating breakfast on the seashore, quietly sitting around that fire, watching it burn. By the way, did you notice that John makes a point of referring to that fire as a charcoal fire? Could be that he's giving us a clue. If you went back to John 18, verse 18, there's another scene where there's a charcoal fire. It's where Jesus was disappointed by Peter when Peter denied even knowing Jesus. It's almost in this story as if there is a stage being set for a confrontation that needed to happen between these two. Well, Jesus said to Peter, Simon, no, he didn't call him Peter the Rock, but Simon. Simon, do you love me? And Peter said, yes, Lord, you know I love you. And then he asked him again and again. And each time as Peter answered in the affirmative, Jesus would also affirm him by saying, well, then feed my sheep, take care of my flock. But he kept pushing in these three questions to the point of Peter feeling hurt that he was being asked. Why was Jesus doing this? Why three times? Because there was sin in his life that had to be addressed and dealt with. It needed to be put out on the table and forgiven by the Savior. The barriers of failure and sin needed to be removed for Peter. Some inner healing needed to happen. And the great physician, Jesus Christ, provided that early morning on the Sea of Galilee. Peter was restored. And after he asked Peter those three times about whether he loved him, he finally said to Peter, Peter, follow me. He gave him a second chance. In writing about this little episode, Rita Snowden writes, you ask me what forgiveness means. It is the wonder of being trusted again by God in the place I disgraced him. I love this story personally. It's a grace story. And I need grace. Oftentimes, I really blow it when it comes to faithfully following Jesus Christ. Countless are the times when I have failed to put in a word for him when the opportunity was there. Maybe I didn't see it. Maybe I did. But Jesus didn't get a witness from me. Or times when perhaps I didn't follow through on keeping my word to someone and being a person of integrity. How many times have I failed to be a light that would cause others to give glory to my Father in heaven? When my behavior, my poor behavior, didn't show light, but instead brought dishonor to those who saw it happening. Have you ever heard the story about a police officer pulling the driver aside and asking for his license and registration? And the driver asking, what's wrong, officer? I didn't go through any red lights, and I certainly wasn't speeding. The policeman said, no, you weren't. But I saw you waving your fist as you swerved around the lady driving in the left lane. And I further observed your flushed and angry face as you shouted at the driver of that Cadillac who you cut off, and how you pounded your steering wheel when the traffic came to a stop near the bridge. Well, is that a crime, officer? No, but when I saw the Jesus Loves You and So Do I bumper sticker on the car, I figured this car had to be stolen. How often has our behavior left people wondering, where do you stand with Jesus Christ? How often have you perhaps used his name in a way that would make people wonder if you really belong to him? There are times, dear friends, when we truly do let him down, when we're really honest in the depths of our souls. And that's why I like this story. It's a grace story, a story about a Savior who forgives. There's another story that I read some time ago that I wanted to share with you today. It goes as follows. On New Year's Day, 1929, Georgia Tech played UCLA in the Rose Bowl. In that game, a young man named Roy Regals recovered a fumble for UCLA. Picking up the loose football, he lost his direction and ran 65 yards towards the wrong goal line. One of his teammates, Beanie Lam, ran him down and tackled him just before he scored for the opposing team. Several plays later, the Bruins had to punt. Tech blocked the kick and scored a safety, absolutely demoralizing the UCLA team. The strange play came in the first half of the game. At halftime, the UCLA players filed off the field and into the dressing room. As others sat down on the benches and the floor, Roy Regals put a blanket around his shoulders, sat down in a corner, and put his face in his hands. A football coach usually has a great deal to say to his team during halftime. That day, Coach Price was quiet. No doubt he was trying to figure out what to do with Roy Regals. When the timekeeper came in and announced that there were 3 minutes before playing time, the coach looked at his team and said, "Men, the same team that played the first half will start the second." The players got up and started out, all but Roy Regals. He didn't budge. The coach looked back and called to him. Regals didn't move. Coach Price went over to where he sat and said, "Roy, didn't you hear me? The same team that played the first half will start the second." Roy Regals looked up. "Coach," he said, "I can't do it. I've ruined you. I've ruined the university's reputation. I've let down my team. I've ruined myself. I just can't face that crowd out there." Coach Price reached out, put his hand on Roy Regal's shoulder and said, "Roy, get up and go on back. The game is only half over." Regals did get up. He went out onto the field, and the fans saw him play hard, and they saw him play well. All of us have run a long way in the wrong direction at times. Because of the forgiveness offered in Jesus Christ, however, remember, the game is only half over. Yes, I do blow it. Does that mean that I'm useless to the Savior, beyond redemption? No. According to this story, forgiveness and a new start is available, a second chance. Jesus does not write me off. As I come before him humbly and honestly and allow him to perform soul surgery on this wounded soul of mine, he says to me, "Get back in the game, Kramer. Nurture the gifts I've given you. Cherish the calling on your life. Devote yourself to my cause." Yes, dear friends, you and I still have our moments when we blow it as followers of Jesus Christ. But here's the good news. Jesus Christ, the risen Lord, is the Lord of the second chance. Amen.
Victory unto thee.
Gracious Lord, we praise you this day for your forgiveness and grace. Like Peter, we oftentimes do let you down. Forgive us, Lord, and fill us with your Holy Spirit, so that we may stand up for Jesus Christ and be bold witnesses for him. It's in the name of that risen Savior we ask this. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Steve Kramer. We praise God for his provision and pray that you have been spiritually nourished by the message today. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit ministry supported entirely by the gifts and prayers of our listening family. All gifts to our ministry are tax deductible. Your support allows us to deliver biblical truths to those who cannot attend church. We thank you for your prayers as well as your financial support. Today's service is available to be read or heard anytime on the internet. Our website has many spiritual helps, including a daily devotion, Bible study helps, and a preview of the coming program. Please visit us at ChristianCrusaders.org. Cassette tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. Address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Wanadoo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Steve Kramer, Senior Pastor of Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in Afton, Minnesota. Christian Crusaders is now in its 71st year of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.